Just made our selection in the third round. Benny Logan, a interior defensive lineman from LSU. I think he's a great fit for us. Again, you know, buzzword, but he is a versatile player. I think he can be a three-down player. He's 6'2", he's 310 pounds, got 34-inch arms. Add some length in there, can push a pocket from the inside. Really, you know, kind of a guy that we had touted. He was a second-round kid for us and just kind of holding our breath there right at the end as he fell. And I think he'll be a great fit for Billy Davis and what he's going to do with those guys. And Jerry Azanero, our defensive line coach, is real excited about him. So, you know, kind of finishing out the night with him, and we're excited kind of where we are. So.
Converted end, are you giving any thought to him outside or strictly inside for y'all?
You know, we role play those guys a lot in practice, but you know, we're really looking at him as an interior player for us at this point in time. So.
Another guy you coached against in college, right?
Yeah.
So how much does that help at this point with this process for you? Because you actually had to defend some of these kids or play against them.
Yeah, you know, Zach a little bit more just because he was in our league and real familiar with him. And we played Benny 2 years ago in the opening game. But obviously, you know, really had to know where he was on the field. You know, they got a great defensive line. They had him and Mingo and Sam Montgomery and a couple other guys. You know, the Johnson kid who's back again. I think it was Brockers. Was that the kid from Kansas City?
Parker's last year.
Yeah, last year. But yeah, he was on that team, too. I mean, they're known, you know, and we went down there, and I think the one thing you know about the Southeastern Conference is defensive linemen, and that's kind of what I think sets it apart. But certainly had a real familiarity with him. So it helps. You know, you get a chance to go against him. You see his motor. You see how hard he plays. You know, it gives you a little bit of insight. So when we got to the combine and got an opportunity to you know, he was on our list to interview, you know, he's certainly someone that I'd rather have him on my side than go against him, I can tell you that.
Just ask how you, like, for you, is like, been doing this for a while, how much does it help to have that kind of resource to somebody who's been coaching in the college game? I know it's going to change as Chip gets into the league a little bit longer, but just now having that immediate resource where, you know, Chip's got institutional knowledge on a lot of these guys.
We talk about the opportunity to recruit a lot of these kids and know their background and play against them and see how they are in pregame. So that's obviously a huge resource for us with Coach Kelly and his staff.
How has the process been for you? I mean, this is obviously different than it has been in the past, and working with Chip and a whole different staff, and looking for different specifications on players. How has it been so far? I mean, you made three picks in 2 days.
It's been awesome. We're having a lot of fun up there, and we're getting players that we think are really good values and fit what we're looking to do. So hopefully we'll continue that tomorrow. It's an important day for us tomorrow as well.
How would you have expected that somewhere somewhere in the first couple of picks you would have gone defense, or did you think, were you okay with that going into the draft? Did you think, you know, that you just take it as it came?
We were going to take the best player. We were going to go off our board. That's why we spend 9 months doing this. We're going to make sure that we hit on the guys in the order that they come off. So going into it, I couldn't tell you whether we were going defense or offense because I didn't know how they were going to come off. But we're really pleased with where we are right now. And, again, we got a big day tomorrow.
He's able to play nose tackle. He's going to play inside, of course.
How much did your board change after Chip came aboard?
You know, the board is a fluid process as you go because obviously Coach came with us in January. You don't have all the whole process done. You don't have all the All-Star games. You don't have the combine. You don't have the interviews. So that's a hard question to answer. It's going to change year to year because of that. But when Coach got here and we went over the players, we found really quick where we were, and it's been a fun process.
You moved on from Mike Patterson and Colin, who are two older inside guys. You have kind of Fletcher and him now. Can you just kind of talk about that position and getting younger there and having some guys that are both pretty athletic and versatile?
And we got some other guys who've been here. You talk about Cedric Thornton, Antonio Dixon, guys that are working really hard in the offseason program, bring size, length, motor. So get those young guys in here. We got a heck of a defensive staff to get their opportunity to play for these guys. They've done a great job, and we'll see if we continue to add to that.
With Benny, where did he play mostly in college?
He was a versatile player for them. You know, they were multiple as well, so they were able to move him around, and he could play very well. He's stout against the run. He can give you some inside pass rush. He can push the pocket. He can work the edges. So he's an interesting guy. We feel fortunate to get him here.
I had a question for Coach. Just on a guy like Zach Ertz, what sets him apart from some of the other vertical tight ends? This is like that big draft of guys who could run downfield, but what set apart when you watch the tape? What did you see something that was different from the other guys?
I think what was evident in Zach is really just how David Chow used him. You know, and sometimes you're projecting tight ends because they always line up at Y, and then you only get them to see him run down the middle of the field. But Zach literally lined up all over the place. He was a single receiver. He'd be the split end all by himself. He'd be a flanker. He'd be a Z in motion. He'd also line up at tight end. So I think what David did with him there at Stanford is really utilize his versatility, and you got to see it. So it wasn't a projection of, hey, what can you do? Can you make Ertz a single receiver and kind of get a good matchup with him? Is that you saw it game in and game out with him on film. So, you know, the way Stanford utilizes their tight ends, I think, you know, really kind of showcases their abilities. So.
Do you look at Logan as an interior pass rusher, or is he predominantly a run guy? How do you?
We think he has the ability to be a three-down player. You know, I think he's a stout against the run, but I also think on third down he can be an inside pass rusher for us. So that's what we really liked about him, and getting him in three. You know, we were really fortunate. We thought, you know, we had him in the second round, and we were fortunate that he fell to us.
A question for both of you guys, just on the SEC and drafting out of that conference, and just the talent level in that conference is so unbelievable. Is there a comfort level taking guys out of the SEC? I know you're an SEC guy and everything, but you know, it's really become kind of the feeder system for the league in a lot of ways.
When you're watching these guys, you want to watch them against the best competition. You want to watch them against guys that are eventually going to play on Sunday. So when you talk about guys from the Pac-12 and the SEC, you know those guys are going to play. So that's why we watch them against the best competition. We're not watching them against guys that aren't going to play, and that's why you get a better sense of what they're going to be.
Howie, since you became GM, no one's made more trades than you. You obviously have in these past 2 days. What's the market been like, and have you been compelled at some point to trade back and get more pitch?
I think Coach is holding me back here, you know, a little bit. He's for our position, we look at the board and we just see extreme value. And when we're on the clock, we see guys that we didn't anticipate being there, and we want to get good players and we want to stick to the board. And it's just how it's worked out here in the first three picks.
Chip, you're obviously an offensive guy. After you went offense 1-2, was like Billy Davis kind of sailing out next year and kind of looking at you, hoping that you guys would address that side of the ball?
I think everybody knows what we're trying to get accomplished here, and that's to make our team better. I also know that defense wins championships. You know, we were fortunate to win championships at Oregon. Our offense got a lot of credit, but I think our defense, you know, you look at guys getting drafted right now. You know, Kiko Alonso's got drafted. You know, Deion Jordan got picked. So, you know, we got a little bit more credit than we should have from an offensive standpoint, but we're pretty good on defense there. And I know defense wins championships, so we know that we're going to try to bring players in here. If you look at what we did in free agency, I think almost everybody we brought in besides James Casey was a defensive player. So just the way it fell is the way it fell, you know, and you can't predict how it's going to go. But we feel like as we keep going through this thing, what's best as we look at it and who's the highest ranked player is who we're going to take.
So you wasn't like the free agency was for the defense and you went into the draft thinking, all right, maybe we'll kind of go to more offense?
No, I mean, I think that's kind of a silly approach to it. It's just, what's the best way for you to make your team better? And when we looked at free agency, there were some guys that we really kind of coveted, and they happened to be defensive players. But, you know, we didn't say, okay, because we have addressed some of this here, let's go the other way. You know, it's really, let's look at what we got. I think we have two outstanding tight ends on our team right now, but we felt like Zach could add some depth to us. So, you know, that's kind of a prime example of us taking who we really believe is the best player out there.
Some teams that run either odd fronts or under defense, they have a guy maybe that has 340 pounds. I don't think it looks like you're not looking at. Do you not believe, or that's the type? Is that not the type of guy that would fit whatever defense it is you're going to run? Do you believe in the faster, more athletic?
No, I mean, we would take him. We just haven't identified someone. You know, you just can't be big and not move. You know, you have to be. It's kind of a combination of both. You know, and if there was a Haloti Ngata out there who can move and is 350 pounds, but there's not many human beings like that on this planet. So. You know, I think everybody covets those type of people, but we feel like we got one in free agency in Soap, you know, and we think Benny can be bigger. You know, he's 3'10 now, but I think he's got some growth potential to him. The same with guys in our program. I think Fletch is going to get a little bit bigger as he gets older, the same as Cedric Thornton. So, you know our mentality, big people beat up little people. So we're going to continue to try to find big people, but they've got to be able to move a little bit too. You know, they just can't stand there and be a statue in there. They got to have some movement skills and be able to get off the blocks and make plays.
Two more questions, guys.
I was wondering if you could kind of clear up something. So, like, basically, when you guys make a pick, it's pretty much what's on the board. Is there any discussion about, like, maybe somebody saying, well, do you think ranking we should give this guy, or is it just basically what the board says?
Well, sometimes you look across the board and you have guys with the same grade. So you have a discussion based on those guys about who you think the best fit is for us at the particular time. But when there's clearly a guy that stands out on the board, we're going to take him.
Has that kind of been what happened so far tonight?
Yes.
Two quarterbacks have gone in the first 67 picks. I'm not asking you guys to tell me your grades on these guys, but is that surprising, or did you kind of expect this the way it was going to fall with the quarterbacks?
Well, it's hard to predict the NFL draft, you know. I think you sit out there and you go into it thinking certain things are going to happen, and then it falls out differently. So it's hard to know what other people are looking at and what their grades are, and I think that's what makes it so much fun.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you.
All right, that is Howie Roseman and head coach Chip Kelly. We hope to speak to them a little bit later on in this draft.